say remez. But please, if you're taking notes or if you plan on remembering that word, that's not what they called it in his day. That's a later title, and it means something a little bit different today, although it's mostly alike. So I use it sometimes. People say, hey, they didn't have remez back there. Well, they didn't have the word, but they did have the practice. It goes like this. You hint or give a clue, but you don't spell out exactly what you want your audience to know. But you assume that because they know the Bible, if you quote a verse and the point you want to make is in the verses before or the verses after, they're going to go there. Because the real point or one of the real points is not the verse you quote, but in the context of the verse you quote. I remember a rabbi who'd had a student who denied the faith, to make a long story short, and in a public gathering, somebody asked the old rabbi, this godly man who loved Torah with all his heart, all his soul, and all his might, like he loved God in a way, what do you think of the work of your student? And he said, Banim gadolti varomamti vahem pashubi, Isaiah chapter 1, I raised sons and daughters and brought them up. And I'm sitting there thinking, so? But from the stunned silence, what's next? And when they were grown, they rebelled against Almighty God, Isaiah goes on to say. But he didn't say that. He let the audience go there because they knew the text. And that's so powerful because now the text convicts you, not the teacher. Could you play that game? You know why you can't? Bless God for all of you. This is going to sound really pompous, but I'll come and sit down by you if it makes you feel better. You know why we can't? We don't know the text. So Jesus is in the temple. The children are dancing around, saying, Hosanna, 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 to the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The priests say, tell those kids to be quiet. Jesus quotes and says, From the lips, of children and infants, you have ordained or caused praise. And they're all bent out of shape. What's the next verse? I'm sorry, what's the verse before? I wrestled with this on the way down here. Well, actually, I tried to get here without going off the road, but I wrestled with this on the way down here because I don't want people leaving here either A, thinking I'm being critical of you, this is coming out of my heart because I am totally convicted myself about me, nor do I want you to feel like you're ignorant. But I'll tell you something, we're ignorant people. Because the verse before says, because of your enemies, Lord, to silence your foes, praise will come out of the mouth of babies. Who did he just call God's enemies? The priests. And they caught it instantly. Who are you to call us God's enemies? Or how about this one? This is the Machaerus in Jordan. Some of you may have been there. If you ever get to Jordan, nobody goes there. I don't know why. But this is the fortress that Herod built where John the Baptist was beheaded. Probably in this, or so Josephus records. Bible doesn't say where, but in this banquet hall, supposedly. John is in jail. Nobody gets out of Herod's jail. To go here was, it was an expression, is to go to hell because you're going to die. Not hell, to underworld, to Hades, sorry. So John sends students, disciples to Jesus. And they ask him this question. Are you the one who is to come? Or should we look for another? Now, does that sound like a strange question? Wouldn't you have expected John to say to his disciples, go ask him, is he really the Messiah? He doesn't. He says, go ask him, is he the coming one? Now take that word coming, just the word coming. Give me a verse from the Old Testament. See, the coming one was a rabbinic word, phrase, for the Messiah because it appears so often in the prophets. Let me show you two. Your kingdom.